Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show that shares insights into how you can build your business once, with hosts Jerry Lowry and Jennifer Navarrete. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and with me is Sherry Lowry, who is sharing her 20-plus years of knowledge on what it takes to build your business once. Today's show is Playing Full Out Part 2, which includes the benefits of experience and how to consciously be at choice in your business, and PLERC, which is Playing While You Work. Now, Sherry, yesterday's show was a great start to the Playing Full Out topic, but would you mind giving our listeners a quick recap before we dive into Part 2?
Sure. And Jennifer, you make things such fun that it feels like play. And I totally kind of spaced the fact that because we had talked about PERC, I had not actually gone over it with the listeners. So just kind of from the top, we're talking about plan full out. And part one, we talked a lot about that being at choice and how having wallet wealth. And right now, what we're doing is more fully developing what I meant by wallet wealth, because it goes well beyond cash and cash flow into having a reserve of time, energy, motivation, flexibility, mentorship, you know, and much else. And so today, I want us to PLERC while we're doing this, which is playing full out at choice and feeling like we're playing while we work. And what's required for that and what the primary emphasis is going to be today is about having really great boundaries, because good boundaries, solid boundaries, not rigid ones, but good, strong, holding and flexible boundaries are really essential to be able to take our next steps. And our whole overarching goal, I want to keep reminding us, is to be in the business of our choice in the way that we choose to be in it and have a good time and have it be growthful for us and profitable and for our clients all at the same time. So without both personal resilience, which we've been building all along the way and will continue to do that, and commitment, but in the case of commitment, we're now beginning to commit to our own well-being, our own profitability, our own ease in our way of working that will be very contagious and very easily transferred to our clients, and they'll have some of the same experience as we work together. And that all takes good boundaries for us, and we may have to teach them a little bit about the boundaries that might be healthier for them.
You know, I think that makes the most sense, because a lot of times I think when we're enthusiastic and we're in startup mode and we think everyone else is in startup mode, and we really need to set those boundaries early. I think the earlier that you can set those boundaries for your business as you, as the individual, as well as for your clients, the quicker you're going to get to that freedom and flexibility in a way that's empowering to both you and your client base.
That's right. Yeah. So for starters, the very first thing that we have to do once we have our consciousness raised that we're kind of heading in this direction is we because we're all in the nature of things, the people that are drawn to this kind of podcast and this topic are probably also going to be servant leader types. And we're actually more comfortable taking care of everybody else in some ways than we can become taking care of ourselves. So today is one of the ways we're beginning to stretch our boundaries on our own self-care to include more of us and what's best for us. When we have this nature and this style of leading, we also may tend in the past to have allowed situations and certain people maybe into our life or into some aspect of our business that lead to compromising our boundaries. And part of the way we do that, and we're going to address that more in just a few minutes, is we get really good at the wimpy yes instead of the solid, gracious no. And no thank you, and I'd love to do that and check back with me in 3 months kind of conversation, rather than a wimpy yes is saying yes when you really shouldn't, and you know you shouldn't, but you didn't have a very good reason top of your head, you know, to say why you should say no. And that's forgivable, but not for very often or very long. And there are certain people, you know, we kind of bend that a little bit far in certain circumstance, but not when we're on track to build this type of business on, because you can't afford to do that on a consistent basis. This is not intentional on the part of the other people. It's just what happens. You're begin to be known as a really great gal or guy. And this often, you know, it happens and it happens. And what happens when it does take place is a clash begins to come into our value system and the value system of the other. What they value most at the time and want us to say yes to when we did, and we didn't intend to or didn't really want to, they have a different set of responsibilities for us than possibly we do that we are honoring and that are different than that what they are honoring. So at the heart of all of this about living full out and playing full out in part two here is going to be the wanting and being willing and comfortable saying no when other people really would be more comfortable with a yes from us. And several sessions from now, we'll address more ways to stay in that gracious no mode for long enough to get done what you're setting out to do. But Jennifer, does this sound familiar to you?
It really does. And I have to tell you that saying no when you're used to saying yes, It's awkward. It doesn't feel real. You're going to probably acquiesce and maybe do a wimpy yes, even though like on the tip of your tongue, there's a no. And I know you'll probably get into this later, but just to kind of give our listeners a tip, you have to practice. And you practice with your family, with your friends, with your coach, with somebody else saying no, so that by the time you actually have to say it in real life, it's not such a hard thing to do, and it comes out more natural, and I promise you, you will be happier for it.
Right. And the best thing, I'm so glad you brought that up, the best thing about that practice is then you get to tussle privately with your shoulds, because as soon as you begin to do that, especially around family and friends who's very accustomed to you possibly being at least with them another way, then the very familiar should will come up that will be, you know, one of your own voices in the back of your head that comes out of nowhere uninvited and stays overly long sometime. And that's our time to say, whoa, wait a minute. Stop right here. Who's saying I should? And begin to question where that's coming from the inside of you. You seem to have a chorus sometime. I bet you in your life, because you have a lot of family surrounding you. In my case, I also have two grandchildren here in Austin, as well as two children. And so, but do know that when should comes up, should is always out of your history. It's always part of your past when you think you should do something. Somewhere along the line, you were taught that, you kind of, you know, inhabited that over time, or somebody actually enforced a bit of that on you. But we don't do guilt when we're living full out and when we're playing full out in our business, because it's too darn expensive and it slows us down too much. Instead, we do honor and we do respect and we do practice our resilience and sticking to, you know, what our priorities are. And so this is what the should reminds us what our real priorities in this situation really are versus the priorities of another for us, which may matter in a different place and time and circumstance, but when we're on this particular track, they don't have any real business here. We've already committed to our own firm boundaries for ourselves. And those almost always involve a different quality and a different use of yes. So I want to stay on track a bit with this a little bit more, and I'll count on you to keep up with our time. How does this play into integrity once you set a new standard for yourself, Jennifer? What do you feel like when you begin to compromise that? But who, the only person that compromises is you, and you being integrity with the standard you wanted to set for yourself.
You know, I have to say, sometimes you have to give yourself permission to not listen to that little voice or voices inside of you. And I will say that I had a recent experience where I kind of thought I shouldn't go do this thing that I've been doing year after year after year, but I thought, no, I should go do that thing. And it didn't work out as well as I had hoped, but at the same time, I knew that if it wasn't working out, I needed to bow out and do so in a way that was going to be helpful for everyone involved. And I'm so much happier for it. And it was me knowing already that I shouldn't have accepted that. And so sometimes right. you have to look back and go, you already knew this wasn't going to be for you. And you don't want to condemn yourself, but you also want to give yourself permission to end that and not continue on kind of with that, with the lashing of the whip on yourself. You don't need to go there. We don't have time for that. We're shooting for excellence and for, you know, professional freedom and choice. And so don't waste time looking backwards. That's the rearview mirror. Spend time going forward.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. I had an experience this past week. On Thursday, I helped facilitate the Intertech conference, which y'all have too in your area in San Antonio and a number of places in Texas and one in Oklahoma. And something came up, and I had 18 coaches in the coaches' booth that I was in charge of, but that same group, or a different part of that group, but the same entity, had a trade show on the same floor but at the opposite end. And I realized, though customarily I would have been the liaison between the two, I completely delegated that almost all the day to some of our senior coaches that I had with me that I knew I could trust 100%. And they were thrilled because they kind of got to, you know, get a whole new level of visibility and involvement, and they felt so engaged that actually they thanked me at the end for giving them more jobs to do than we anticipated they would have. So, you know, remember when we had little kids and they wanted to work with us and they really meant that? I mean, they were out with the mops and the brooms and the things in the kitchen, and they really wanted to be a part of it. And, you know, we didn't think to ask them or include them, but it gives a lot of people gratification when we move over. So sometimes our boundaries, in tightening them for ourselves, we open them for other opportunities for other people. But we do have to build the bridge to that, you know, for them to take full advantage of it. So our boundaries, by the way, just like our wallet, has things related to it. We're not just limiting our time. And who we spend that time with and how much of it. We also, when we're on this track, our wallet wealth also addresses and puts limits around activities that we give our attention and energy to, the wide variety of categories. And I've actually reduced some of the categories that have my attention during November so we could do more of this. And it has limited me in a good way for how much time I am allowing around other types of calendar and time-consuming things. For example, I've spent a whole lot less time on Facebook and on LinkedIn and Snapchat and Twitter during this whole 30 days, and it may be a practice I continue, just checking in there periodically versus more often. Nobody's missed me that I notice, and it's also given me more flexibility, and I can still do the updates and everything and check-ins just as, you know, readily as I was doing them. So good and excellent boundaries put us in uppermost choice and also control of all of these things that we're talking about. So those of us with control issues, we're going to like this kind of work. And we'll be assigning a little bit of homework in this area. I want to issue a challenge to all of us to add 5 new things in this current week. We have just opened a new week that are nurturing to you, supportive of you, that you may not have handy with you on a repeat basis. And I don't care if that's a special kind of chocolate or if that's a great book that's small and you can take with you when you have downtime unexpectedly or whatever it is. See if you can find 5 things to add in your life. The right music, possibly a different comfort level of clothes, whatever it is that makes life easier for you getting around in your work day, or your other, especially if you have travel, and begin to pamper yourself a little bit beyond the usual this week to begin to get used to stretching what you want for choice. So let's see where we go from here.
Well, so I think that that kind of ends us really well, because in the U.S. this is Thanksgiving week. And I think what you're mm-hmm. really asking us to do, Sherry, is to be thankful to ourselves and to really honor ourselves in a way that normally we may not, because our minds are always going forward and we're thinking about everyone else and what's coming up. And so this is a good time to pause and just say, you know what? I'm pretty awesome, and I think I'm going to do something nice just for me. It doesn't serve any other purpose other than it's a small pleasure that makes me happy.
Good idea. Thanks. Well, coming up next is going to be doing a bit of buffing on our business, and that is going to be related to green blocking our calendar, our client base, if we already have that, and our projects for profit, but also for higher gratification. And I've got a little plan in mind for that.
Ah, now you've got us chomping at the bit for tomorrow's show. That's fantastic. Thanks for another great show, Sherry.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Set a reminder for 9:30 a.m. Central every day in the month of November to listen to daily episodes of the Build Your Business Once show.